Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Singapore's multi-ministry task force tackling COVID-19 held a virtual press conference yesterday to provide updates on several fronts, including the situation with regard to foreign workers living in dormitories, measures pertaining to cross-border travel, and whether work from home will really be the new reality. Joining us with his analysis is Timothy Goh, journalist with The Straits Times. Thanks for joining us today, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about Education Minister Lawrence Wong, who co-chairs the pandemic task force. He said that almost all foreign workers will have been cleared of COVID-19 by today, Friday, August the 7th, and the majority will be allowed to go back to work by the end of the month. So that's finally some good news, right? What do you make of it?
I honestly think this is great. You know, this August 7th deadline has been in the works for quite a while now. I'm glad that we managed to hit it. It's a good sign. You know, it's a testament to our testing abilities, the ability to clear so many workers on schedule. But at the same time, I think it's really good for the foreign workers themselves because, you know, they've been cooped up for so long in the dormitories. They finally be able to go out and get back to work. And there's, I guess, a change of environment would be good for the mental health as well. And it's great news for the construction sector as well, which has been, I know a lot of projects have been stalled over the past few months as well. So it'd be really good to, it's a good step in getting our economy restarted again.
Yeah, but also a number of workers are still in isolation facilities. The daily number of COVID-19 cases will fluctuate over the next 2 weeks, according to Minister Wong, as they're tested. This is concerning, isn't it? I mean, what about the implications for the community?
Well, actually, I'd say it's not as concerning as many might think. So in the past, when we, you know, when we reported new daily cases, there would always be this shock and horror whenever the numbers went up, and rightfully so, because these cases were in the community. But what we need to keep in mind now is that when we see case numbers rising from this sort of test, from workers who are already isolated, the numbers don't really mean that there's an increased threat to general members of the public because these people are already in isolation. We already know where the virus is. And in fact, by picking this up, it means that we can take care of them and clear them earlier rather than letting them go out into the community and then spread the infection without getting tested.
Also, you mentioned construction sector. The majority of foreign workers work in construction. Do you think businesses are prepared, though, with regard to implementing the necessary safety measures as these foreign workers come back to work?
Well, I mean, as I say, the proof is in the pudding. You know, in order to tell whether someone's really prepared, there's nothing
you just have
like
to do it.
Seeing it. Yes, yeah. Correct. But that being said, that you know, there have been months and months of, I mean, this August 7th date is not a new announcement. And I think most people in the sector have already known for quite a while that the workers will be cleared and have been waiting, in fact, for them to be cleared. And the ministries have already, you know, been reminding them time and time again to put in place all these safe distancing measures. And we've sort of got this whole safety culture in Singapore now. I think people are sort of used to the COVID-19 control measures. So I'd say they should be pretty prepared by now.
On a separate note, though, Tim, Health Minister Gan Kim Yong said Malaysians with Singapore work passes will serve a 7-day stay-home notice instead of 14, as COVID-19 prevalence rates in Malaysia are similar to Singapore's. How much will this help mitigate the challenges all parties have been facing, say employers and workers alike? And does it, to some degree, complement the periodic commuting arrangement?
Well, I think this will definitely help to solve some of the manpower challenges that especially contractors in Singapore have been facing because a lot of the workers do come from across the border. And at the same time, I know, you know, we've had reports of workers across the border who are eager to start work again because their income has been disrupted. Having something like this, a 7-day stay-home notice for men, if I were to look at it from a purely economic point of view, I'd say that it is beneficial because, you know, essentially there's one less week that you have to stay off work. You can start earlier, you can be more productive, and there's less of a barrier to entry to coming back here and getting started again.
But therein lies the conundrum, right, Tim, that all economies, I think, have been facing, balancing that between health, the safety of people versus the safety and the health of the economy.
Yes.
That's a rough thing to balance.
Indeed, indeed. And, you know, I was speaking with the Director of Medical Services yesterday, Associate Professor Kenneth Mark, and he was saying that, indeed, it is sort of a balancing game that we're playing here in Singapore too when it comes to making this decision, because a lot of people will be asking, why not apply the regular 14-day stay-home notice to
Yeah, what
workers,
about the
right?
science or all that we've known about the virus thus far and its 14-day incubation period, right?
Yes. So the rationale of the authorities is that you can't go at it purely from you know, only looking at what is the absolute zero fail possibility, safest healthcare perspective, you can look at the economy as well. And truth is, the economy has been suffering a lot. A lot of projects have been stalled. So from their assessment, I guess they believe that this is the best balance to strike, mainly because Malaysia's prevalence rate is equal to, if not lower, than Singapore's. But whether or not this works out, we'll just have to wait and see.
We're speaking with Timothy Goh, journalist with The Straits Times. Timothy, what do you make of the focus on imported cases as Singapore continues with green lane arrangements? Minister Gan also mentioned it wasn't plausible to keep borders shut indefinitely anyway, but there is risk management in place already.
Yes, that's correct. I know many members of the public are understandably concerned about this because it feels like, hey, we've just had circuit breaker, we've just brought our community cases down to such a low number, we're almost there. You know, what if someone brings it in and restarts the entire chain again?
We've seen that happen in other places as well. Vietnam had no cases for months and then boom. Must be really depressing, disheartening as well.
Yes. So it definitely is. I mean, people are right to be focused on this and worried about this. But at the same time, you know, our current system of, in a sense, isolating or quarantining travelers until they're tested and cleared, it's a little similar to the way we handle the dorm situation. So even when we see new imported cases, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are out and about in the community spreading the infection. What it does mean is that we are aware that this guy brought the virus with him, but we've caught him before he managed to see anyone else, before he spread it to anyone else, and we managed to control it there and then. And you know, given that Singapore itself is an economy that relies on international trade, relies on open borders, you know, I guess the authorities see this as a risk that we really have to take. And as long as we're able to catch every case as they come in, then, you know, on the balance, things should be okay. Of course, that is quite a big if.
Minister Gan also mentioned that from today, Singaporeans and permanent residents allowed to travel overseas who develop COVID-19 will be able to tap government subsidies, MediShield Life and Integrated Shield plans for their hospital treatment. Why the change of heart? Because it had been for a while. If you go against travel advisories and travel and contract it, you're on your own.
Yes. Well, the deal of this now is that it's actually Singaporeans who travel overseas under permitted travel.
Yeah, it's not willy-nilly, right? I'm just going to go for a
that's
holiday.
Correct. Yes, and previously, this group of people had to pay for the fees themselves. You know, they couldn't tap on any subsidies at all. So I guess this could be seen as sort of our attempt to move forward into the new normal. If we want to encourage travel, safe travel at least, then we've sort of got to lower the barriers to entry for people to engage in this sort of movement. And in order to do that, you have to ensure that, look, if I'm going to say, okay, for the sake of our economy, you can go overseas, do your business, there's a risk that you might catch COVID-19, then the government is prepared to support you as long as you did everything you could to keep yourself safe. And I think this is the message they're trying to send.
Very quickly, Education Minister Lawrence Wong also mentioned that working from home arrangement will continue in order to guard against potential COVID-19 transmission. This is a bit divisive because some love it, some don't. I mean, some businesses have already requested for a bit more flexibility in this regard. You think it's good news or bad news?
Well, personally, I think it's good. I mean, people are worried about imported cases, but honestly, the higher chances of catching it from, you know, some asymptomatic case on public transport. And as we all know, peak hour work travel is what crowds up public transport in the first place. So to keep this as the norm, you know, people working from home where possible, as much as possible, I think it makes sense for the immediate future until, you know, we've got a vaccine out or until we are a bit more sure that we don't have that higher chance of catching it in the community.
Timothy Goh, journalist with The Straits Times. Tim, thanks for your time.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.